Thank you so much, Rich. You really laid it out there beautifully for us. We've got about 10 minutes or so. The Secretary has kindly offered to take some questions. Please indicate your name and affiliation in posing the question.
Oh, the I word. Iraq, I think, is spoken about quite fully by the President yesterday. He indicated he'd be speaking more about it in his September 12th address to the United Nations. Iraq is a problem that has been around at least for the last 11 or 12 years. We're going to have to deal with it. And the President has said we will deal with it. It's not a question of that. A question of how and what time and what manner is still open. The President hadn't made a decision. But my own view is that all of these efforts are clearly better off done in a multilateral context. If we have a change of regime in Iraq under any circumstances, there's going to be a lot of room for cleanup after. And if for no other reason for help cleaning up after, we need a large coalition. And I think that's sort of the direction the President indicated he was leading yesterday when he said he was going to be consulting not only with members of our Congress, the House and the Senate, but with international leaders in the days and weeks as he moves forward.
I see the hand of another giant walking the hall. Ambassador Platt.
Well, actually, they referred to you as dinosaurs. That would be... Certainly not Nick, though. He's a giant. Well, clearly, there's something going on in Iran, Nick, and there's a struggle for hearts and minds, particularly of young. And in the first instance, I think the best thing the United States can do is simply continue to tell the truth about what our values, what our ideals are. Beyond that, we have had, I think, over the past months, particularly through the bond process leading to the interim government in Afghanistan, a very good working relationship with the Iranians on a strict issue of Afghan in the future. And that continues to some extent today. And I would only note, Nick, that finally when we have our exchanges through third parties and sometimes in these 6+2 talks, there's been a lot of change in rhetoric, both from the Iranian side and from our own. We're very businesslike, and I think that's a pretty good basis on which to move forward. But it's going to be, I think, if there's forward movement, it's going to have to come from Iran first. They've got to resolve their internal, what the communists used to say, the internal contradictions that exist. So.
Yes, sir. In the back there. Yeah. Identify yourself, please.
Touch anything you're not sure of. First of all, sir, you're making the assumption that, and I assume when you say attack, that's a military attack, which is not something the President has spoken about. I think as a general matter, there's no one in the Arab world who has any affection for the present regime in Baghdad. That's not open to question. If the President or when the President decides to move forward, I think it's very incumbent upon us to explain our case very well throughout the world, including in the Arab world, of course. And then to enlist as many like-minded folks to move forward with us. You know, there is a good argument which can be made that the whole face of the Middle East, and particularly those in the Gulf, would be dramatically changed for the better if you had a more congenial regime in Baghdad. And I think that's a pretty good basis, as I said in answer to an earlier question, on which to move forward. I don't accept, of course, that specter that the United States has replaced the Soviet Union in the minds of many, but I've heard it said from time to time.
Yes, sir.
Well, of the observation I make that Tony Zinni is still my friend. And Tony Zinni still is a consultant to us and has performed admirably well, and I certainly trust he'll continue to in the future. Whatever opinions I have about people serving or not serving are my own. I will only note that there are lots of reasons people didn't serve in the Vietnam War. There were people of conscience who went to other countries, who inconvenienced themselves for their view. I personally have a great deal of respect for that. There are other people who became COs who, for their views, inconvenienced themselves. I have a great respect for that. But as my view, I'll just keep that to myself and watch interestedly from the sidelines as General Zinni sallies forth. Buck, this one's for you. Well, let me, for those who don't know you, Buck Revell, formerly of the FBI, was one of the leading voices for anti-terrorism activities during the second Reagan administration, was absolutely key in some of the takedowns we had at the time, and I appreciate the question. Hezbollah may be the A-team of terrorists, and maybe Al-Qaeda is actually the B-team, and they're on the list, and their time will come. There is no question about it. They have a blood debt to us, which you spoke to, and we're not going to forget it, and it's all in good time. And we're going to go after these problems just like a high school wrestler goes after a match. We're going to take them down one at a time.
Maybe a couple more people. In the back. Yes.
The privilege was mine, madam. Well, Prime Minister Blair has been invited to Camp David this weekend, and he'll be visiting on Saturday afternoon and evening with our president. And I have noted the statements out of Great Britain that they're trying to find a way to be able to negotiate something like an Article 98 agreement, which we need to be able to continue in our peacekeeping. I don't think that Article 98 will be the main subject of their conversation at Camp David. But it has been the subject of recent conversations between my boss, Secretary Powell, and Jack Straw of Great Britain. And I noted that the EU seems to be becoming a little more flexible, is trying to find a way out. And, of course, Bulgaria has been very helpful to us in this regard. One more.
From the head table, another dinosaur, Walt Cutler.
Walt Cutler, Radio International Center. You made reference to public diplomacy. A number of people in this room have been involved in one aspect or another, the old USIA and so forth. And to what extent do you attach long-term importance to this element of, among many elements of diplomacy, including direct international exchanges?
First of all, Walt, what used to be USIA and now our public diplomacy is physically together with the State Department, but I'm of the view that the merger hasn't fully taken. And part of this is management's fault, and we're working on it, trying to make sure we reward and award and recognize efforts of good PD officers and ambassadorships in our terms. Eventually, we just, by the way, had Ambassador Barbara Moore going to Nicaragua, who's a PD officer. So we've got to make them more of the family, first of all. Second of all, there's no question from Secretary Powell's point of view, and I think internationally and certainly on the Hill, that this has been an area where we're short. If I went around, we've been short historically. If I went around to different posts, and I think if I went around today to the more than 180 ambassador embassies that we have, and ask PD officers what their duties are, I'd get probably maybe 150 different answers. It's one of the problems. We've never, in my view, really directed them and put their efforts all together. It's a long-term proposition. It's going to take long-term funding, and people like Chairman Frank Wolf, the House Appropriations, have been in the forefront of making sure we pay attention to it, and second of all, that there's funding which backs it up. You know, we've had a lot of trouble in communicating, particularly to Islamic audiences. And we've done a lot of almost market research here recently to try to figure out how we could communicate. What are our values as Americans, and what are traditional Islamic values? And we narrowed it down to about 10 values that most Americans would sign up to, and about 10 values that that most Islamic people of the Islamic faith would sign up to. And we found three that are completely identical. And one is the need for security. Second, faith, because we are a religious nation. We are a nation who has a higher percentage of people who profess one faith or another and regularly attend church than any other Western nation. And the third is family. So we're building our public diplomacy as we look at the Arab world and the Islamic world, not just in the Middle East, but Indonesia and Malaysia, on those things we have in common, those common values, and particularly security, family, and faith, religion. And our view is we're making little inroads, but that's not something any of us can judge today. About 3 or 4 years from now, you'll know if we made some inroads. We all will. But it's a source of enormous concern and effort by Secretary Powell.
I'd like you to join me in thanking Rich Armitage for being with us today.